Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And just scrolling through my Bible here today, just thinking, Lord, what would you have me talk about? Because I make people feel good. I'm full of it. I am. I admit it. I'm full of it. I live and breathe. God, what an exciting time to be alive. What I tell you what. Oh, these are days that when we're all sitting around the campfire, not in heaven, because there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign. We're sitting around the campfire, and over there's Moses, and there's going to be Samson over there, and there's going to be Jeremiah there. But we're all going to be sitting around the campfire, and we're going to be telling stories. And even those people who are not worthy of mention in Hebrews 11, there'd be a good place to go, Jared. Go to Hebrews 11. Those whose names were not worthy of even being mentioned. We're going to be sitting around that campfire. We're going to be telling stories of everything that happened, what was going on. And you know what? There are going to be a lot of heroes made right now, right in this time and place in which we live. And I know that there's a deep, deep swamp in Washington, D.C. There's a deep, deep swamp in America. The devil has pulled a coup and has seized control of most things in the world. Devil's, let's be honest, devil's in control. He's not supposed to be. But he's in control because his people have given over control to him. His people have yielded control to him. And we're going to be able to, I believe, confidently and proudly sit at that campfire and tell what we fought against, what we did. Maybe it wasn't hand to hand, but the manifestation of the kingdom of darkness. Brothers, it's right before us, man. It's right here. What a time to be alive. I mean, I was having a conversation with yesterday, 2 days ago. I can't remember when it was. I was having a conversation with a friend, and I said, in the course of it, the Holy Spirit prompted me, and I stopped because, you know, we're all struggling, fighting through different things. Please don't take this the wrong way, okay? But I stopped him right in the middle of it. I looked at him. I said, hey, do you have any idea what my walk has cost me? You have any idea? And I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm going to tell you something, brothers. There's been some uphill climbing. There's been some rolling down the hill. There's been some getting my pants caught in the briars, in the brambles. There's been a lot of that in this walk. If you think all of a sudden you just say, well, I'm going to start following the Lord and I'm going to serve the Lord, and all of a sudden it's going to become a bed of roses and there's going to be a path all laid out for you. Dude, you are seriously, seriously deluded. And I think sometimes we look around and we don't understand and we don't realize the price that others paid that we might be able to stand where we are today. When's the last time you thought about that? You open up your history book and you read about, well, we're going to do it here in a minute. Those in the Great Faith Hall of Fame whose names weren't even worthy of mention. And these guys who anonymous people who laid down and did things and sacrificed so that others might be able to pass through. Goodness and mercy follows all the days of our life. Goodness and mercy shall follow. It's Hebrews 11. Do you have that up there, Jared? Well, let's start with some scripture. That'll make Roger feel a little bit better. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen. I could preach right there I want. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. By what? By what did they obtain a good report? By faith. Now, who are the elders? Well, we don't know that. They don't tell us. They're nameless. But they obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. And by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Folks, these are real people doing real things. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible. By faith, this all happens. And without faith, it's impossible. By faith, everything is possible. With God, faith, all things are possible. Without him, ain't nothing possible. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, things not yet seen, moved with fear, built an ark. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receiving inheritance, he obeyed. By faith, he sojourned in the land of the promise, for he looked for a city that was builder and maker was God. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, therefore sprang up. I'm just jumping. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. You get that? You get that? They laid down their lives and had nothing to show for it. But having seen them afar off, what did they see afar off? The promises. They knew it wasn't about them. They knew their life wasn't about them. He said, I don't get this, Lord. I don't know why you did this. Lord, I don't know why you called me out of coaching. I don't know why you did that. Lord, I don't know why I've been through the things that I do. But Lord, I've been through it because why? Because outside there. Because outside there is something that we're all heading towards. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. I see them afar off. We're persuaded. See, persuaded means you used to believe one way, and now you believe another. You changed totally. You've been persuaded of them, and you embraced them, and you confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. If they focused on what they left behind, they might have wanted to go back. But now they desire a better country. What happened to me in my heart? I desire a better country. And I don't mean country. That is a heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By the way, that's the bride. By faith, Abraham, when he's tried, offered up Isaac. Counting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. Scroll on down, Jared. By faith, Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph, when he died. By faith, Moses, when he was born. By faith, Moses, choosing rather to suffer, esteeming the approach of Christ greater than riches in heaven. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Through faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, he passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. And what shall I say? For the time shall not fail me to tell of these other people that you never even heard of, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent, valiant, the flight turned to the flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised. We don't even know who these people are. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, more were bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sewn in half. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, torment, of whom the world was not worthy. Hollywood didn't make movies about them. They didn't get their names put on churches. And all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, never received a promise. Because God, having provided some better thing for us, they're waiting for us. They can't be made perfect without us till we finish our course. What a time. What a time to be alive, man. Time to be alive. I'm sick of the doom and the gloom. No matter how dark it gets, we just got to be light, brighter. No matter how evil it gets, we just got to be more holy. No matter how much the obstacles, how tall the obstacles become, we just got to jump higher. Now is not the time to back down. Now is the time to attack. That's the way I see it.
Amen, brother.
That's the way I see it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, listen, let me get into some stuff here. I'm feeling it this morning, boys. I'm feeling it. Thank you, Lord. I'm just reading some of the stuff I've written. I've got so much profound stuff to talk about today. Okay, let's start there. Hey, Jared, go to Day of Mourning. Think of it. Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy. I'm going to say this because I want to get it off my chest. Glenn Beck is a never Trumper. Glenn Beck did everything he could to try to keep Donald Trump from being president. He did everything he could. Don't ever forget that. Okay? So understand the people, you got to be careful. If a guy misses it as bad as he missed it, you better be careful. Unless he's repented, which I guess he has. Beck says he'll now vote for Trump. Do you have any idea how many millions and millions and millions and millions of people he tried to lead the wrong way? It's critical. Don't forget that. But I want to tip my cap to Glenn Beck because there's something inside of him. I don't know what it is. I haven't figured him out yet. I don't know whether he's a media plant. I don't know whether he's a double agent. I don't really know. I'm as crazy as that sounds. I really don't know. He was on CNN. Don't forget, he was on Fox News. He was friends with all of them. But there's always been a side of Glenn Beck that I believe is striving and crying out for righteousness. He's a Mormon. Say what you want to about that. Mormons are not Christians. Sorry, they're not. And he espouses Christian values. But he did a great thing yesterday. He had Elizabeth Johnson on yesterday to talk about the Day of Mourning. I know most of you probably have not heard this. And I want to, Jared starts at 1 hour and 27 minute mark. I think's where it is when Elizabeth comes on. And I want to ask you this, folks. As great you listen to this, now listen, let me say this. Lord, can I just say it, Lord, and they receive it the right way. The activist mommy was birthed through a vision I had for Elizabeth. You could call her right now and she would tell you. We were standing out in front of Target and I walked across the street to her. I'm frozen in that moment. I've known Elizabeth for a long time. I knew her when she was just Elizabeth. And I walked over and I said, Elizabeth, you need to start making videos. She said, what? I said, yeah, just YouTube videos. You need to start making videos. Because you are everything they hate. You're pretty. You're a Christian. You're anti-feminist. You've got 10 children. You're a homeschool mommy. You have a voice. Elizabeth started making videos, and now like 67 million videos views later, she's on the Glenn Beck Show. And I look at her, and I said, man, there's another one of our players. As another one of players that we put in the game. Hey, you could call Elizabeth. I'm telling you the truth. You could call her. She would tell you how the whole thing happened. But I want you to listen to this right here. I listened to it this morning. It's only about a six-minute segment. And you tell me when you've ever heard on a secular radio program what this, God bless Elizabeth. For having the courage to say it. And God bless Glenn Beck for giving her the platform to say it. This is about 6 minutes, maybe seven, but it's worth it. Go ahead, Jared.
In just a few days, on Saturday, there is something called the Day of Mourning. Now, this was happening in New York. It was happening in Albany. And it was started by Elizabeth Johnston. Now, she was on the program with us last week. And now there are 20 more cities where this has started to spread. Elizabeth joins us now. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Very good. I just want to introduce you. Elizabeth is a speaker and an author and a vlogger. And she has been involved in all kinds of things, but mainly raising her 10 children. Some things have happened in life where she said, enough is enough, not on my watch. And she has now become a very big, powerful voice in social media and has written a new book called Not on My Watch. But we want to talk to her about the Day of Mourning. So what's happened since last we spoke, Elizabeth?
Glenn, partially thanks to being on your show last week, we could not be more excited about the response to the Day of Mourning. As you mentioned, We are now simulcasting the event to 21 cities. Days ago, we had sold out of our venue space at the convention center. We are scrambling to rent more rooms at the convention center to simulcast. I think we'll have at least 5,000 people at the convention center in Albany, New York, and probably standing outside. We have tapped into something, Glenn. People want to be anywhere they can be near the day of mourning because we are standing in the gap and interposing for our nation on Saturday. We believe the blood of these babies is crying up to God right now, and we are in deep trouble. And we've seen in history times when people have stood in the gap for their nation and God has spared their nation, like when Moses stood in the gap for the Hebrew people and God spared them, and Esther stood in the gap and called for fasting and prayer when Haman wanted to destroy her people and God spared them. That is the heart of what we are doing on Saturday, and people just want to get as close to it as they possibly can.
All right, so you have events now in Apple Valley, California, Eugene, Oregon. Wow, that's shocking to me. Is Eugene normal? I mean, sorry to say that. Sorry, Oregon, but you know what I'm talking about. Chicago, Illinois, Charlotte, North Carolina. Where else?
Oh, you can, if you go to thedayofmourning.org, you will see the 21 cities where we are simulcasting. Scroll to the bottom of the website, dayofmourning.org, and you will see that we are just in tons of states and super excited about that. I think people, Glenn, they are tired of the half measures that we have been taking. When are we going to see that these half measures aren't working? You know, when you cut branches off a tree, the branches are going to grow back, right? And the pro-aborts are always coming back with more and more bloodshed, more and more outrageous legislation. And the pro-life movement has been strangely fixated on passing pathetic legislation that says, you know, you can kill the baby as long as the doctor has hospital privileges, or you can kill the baby as long as you let the mom wait 24 hours, or you can kill the baby as long as the clinic is sanitary. Are we out of our minds? Glenn, what if we said that back in the Holocaust time about the Jewish people? Okay, you can kill Jews as long as the clinic is sanitary.
So,
have mercy. Like, no, we need to end the killing. And that's why this is a vertical response on Saturday, Glenn. It's saying, you know what? We have all just been completely negligent and complicit in this crime of child killing, and we've got to make this right with God.
All right. So this is the thing I like about this. This is not a thing where everybody gets up and gives a speech or, you know, and you're cheering and you're bringing signs. You're asking people to, on Saturday, not to shop, to close your business if you're a business owner, to wear black in mourning, and repent for the sin of abortion and ask for God's protection. So at these events, what you're going to see is what exactly, Elizabeth?
You will hear inspiring testimonies and stories from, for instance, a mother who chose life because Christians were there to help her choose life when she was heading into the abortion clinic. You'll hear from an 8-year-old abortion survivor who was adopted and is just a beautiful young woman. You'll hear from Black conservative David J. Harris, who's going to deal with what a problem this is in the Black community and how they have killed off so much of their race. But more than speakers, you're going to hear us all praying, seeking God, crying out to God for mercy. This is a prayer meeting. This is a sober time of repentance. We are standing in the gap for our nation. And Glenn, I just cannot thank you enough for partnering with us in this and helping us get the word out.
Elizabeth, I really appreciate what you're doing, and I think it's very brave and high time. And what I like about this movement is it isn't about people, and it isn't about parties or elections. It's really about what I believe is a covenant that we made with God, and we have broken that covenant. And if we don't cry out to him and beg for forgiveness, if he doesn't hear from us, we are going to be destroyed. We are going to be destroyed because I firmly believe with the technology and the ingenuity that we have as Americans, if we go dark, we are going to be the worst nation ever on the in history. We are going to make the Nazis look like rookies. With what we have now in technology, we can kill millions of people overnight. And it can all be done in the cover of darkness in their own home. And nobody will ever see it because we can cut off all communication. I mean, it's horrifying to think. And we are strangely no longer moved. It's, you know, the man's love for man has waxed cold.
Yeah. Think about this, Glenn. Think about the passion that the left has for their ideas and the lack of passion that we have for ours. The potheads will defy the feds for their marijuana, state after state after state, but we don't even have enough love for our preborn neighbor to defy the feds when they tell us it's okay to execute babies in cold blood. This is why we're meeting on Saturday, because something has happened to our hearts. We are dead inside to an issue that should so greatly alarm us that we can't sleep at night, an issue that would cause us, yes, to defy the feds, to say, I don't care what Roe v. Wade says. Roe v. Wade can kiss my grits. I'm going to protect these babies. And we don't have that, Glenn. And so that's why we are seeking God to change our hearts on Saturday.
Elizabeth Johnston, she's the author of the book ActivistMommy.com. It's the day of mourning that is happening this Saturday. I cannot urge you.
Folks, I want you to listen now in about the next minute and a half. I want you to think about what Glenn Beck's going to say, and then I want you to think about the President of the United States, everything that's on his plate. And I want you to listen to Glenn's confession that he ignored abortion. Go ahead.
Strongly enough, no matter what your faith is, please, please turn your eyes to God and beg for forgiveness and help and time so we can correct the sins that we have just let happen on our watch. And I know, you know, I'm not talking to anybody about repenting. I have so much repenting to do. I have said so many times in my career, and especially at the times when I was at Fox, we were under attack on so many different things. And people came to me and said, you got to talk about abortion in life. And I said, are you kidding me? I can carry no more water. Somebody else has to carry that bucket because I just can't carry any more water. And I regret that deeply. And we all have, we can all make excuses. But in the end, those excuses don't mean anything. This is a holocaust that has happened in our country. And those of us who say we are against this, we do have to stand in peace, in love, with compassion. And we should take the beam out of our own eye first before we look for the beams in other people's eyes. Elizabeth, thank you so much.
That's good enough. We don't have any passion, do we? We're dead inside. See, she so nailed it. The potheads are more concerned and more committed to smoking pot than the church is to saving children. She so nailed it. Somebody come in here. I'm kind of at a loss for words.
Well,
hey, Coach.
I think that
listen, let's do this. I'm sorry. We stepped over a lot each other yesterday. Okay. So let's wait till I acknowledge you. I know you guys aren't doing it on purpose, but it's distracting. So let me acknowledge you and then come in. Go ahead, Larry. And then Paul. Yeah,
I think Glenn touched on it. You know, says we know this now. We're aware of it. We've got to do something. And the other, just a couple of days ago, you were talking about James chapter 4. And the last verse of James chapter 4 is one of those therefore verses. When a verse begins with therefore, there's some wherefore in front of it. In other words, another scripture that leads to the therefore verse. And therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You keep your mouth shut on the abortion issue, you are sinning big time. You keep your mouth shut on any issue that you know is vital to the importance of our Christian way in our nation. You are sinning big time. Sometimes all you can do is stand up and be counted and put your name on a list or something, and you can't carry any more water because your bucket is full. But at least you can take 30 seconds to put your name on a roster or something. You sit by and do nothing. Shame on you.
It's sin. Oh.
No.
Amen, Larry.
Amen, Larry. That's good stuff there. I was just going to say, you know, you're talking about the potheads. I just think about God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And it took some people that were potheads to show us that, hey, we need to stop worrying about what the federal government says and know what to do and know to do the right thing, which Amen. Is to protect these innocent lives and to stand up for them. Because Amen. If we don't, we are going to be in a whole heap of trouble, as someone used to say on TV. And that's what we're getting ready to go into if we don't turn the ship around.
See, I just say this over and over and over. That's why I wrote to last night. I wrote a commentary called "This Is It, Guys." Did I just say this week the worm has turned? Can you stop just for a second and understand that 6-minute segment of Elizabeth Johnston talking about sin and repentance and the Lord? Can you imagine that anywhere in secular media, that the Lord has opened that door for that type of thing to go forth, and we cannot miss this moment? That's the door Trump kicked open. Sorry if you don't see it. That's the door he kicked open. And he's saying, church, come.
Amen, coach.
That's amazing, coach.
Instead, we want to sit back and say, well, he's with the Mossad. He's secretly wrapped up with the Mossad. And he's really? Well, I couldn't give 10 give-a-dams about the Mossad. I'm worried about the church. What if the church rises up right now and steps forward and moves in? What happens then? That's what I'm asking. That's where my heart is. And it's like, go ahead, Vic.
We need to charge up the hill, brother.
Oh, and brother.
People need to start falling on the sword, and so that we open the path for others to just keep on charging. Everybody says about swimming upstream.
Bring a commentary up. Go ahead. Keep going, Vic.
When you swim upstream, there's two good things that are going to happen. The first thing is you're going to get tired. But if you keep swimming upstream, you develop this stamina. And mm-hmm. that's what we need to have, is this spiritual stamina, that we're not afraid to keep going upstream.
Got to, man.
That's what's going to happen.
Got to swim upstream. Next, who else wanted in?
Dave,
Roger. Vic.
Yeah, Chad. Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, I was just going to say, Victor, look, I'm all falling on the sword, but look, we ain't even swinging it. We need to come out swinging it. You know, we need to do a play-action pass and throw the thing deep, and let's be aggressive with it. Let's swing the sword before Amen. We fall on it.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Chad. And Chad, and before we swing the sword, we have to unsheath the sword.
No.
We're afraid to offend. Brother, we're afraid to offend. We're so concerned about what other people think or what other people might think about if I say something. Last night, this idiot sings a stupid song in a karaoke. I walked right up there, and I was so offended by it. And I told everybody, I said, you know what? I said, that song was so offensive. I said, now I'm going to offend the rest of you. Brother, and I belted out Rich Mullins, "Our God is an Awesome God." Brother, let me tell you what.
I'm going to play the clip. Go ahead.
Brother, they didn't even clap. They just, my sister was hooting and hollering. That's exactly it. The sanctuary city garbage and all of this stuff. We're so afraid. The church is so squirm back. That word faith has pissed us. Those men did what they did because they had a moral conviction and a holy God. They professed in the holiness of God, and they continued to march in that holiness. That is what faith is.
So here's the commentary. Bless you, Dale. I'm going to play your video here in a minute. As most of you know, I spent my early life as a high school coach. Stay with me a minute. Football was where I really hung my hat, but during 3-decade-long career at various times, I also directed the baseball team and the girls' basketball team, as Jim McKay so famously described, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat and the human drama of athletic competition. That's what I've lived my whole life. along life's journey through hundreds of games and thousands of individual plays, most coaches develop a sixth sense in regards to the game that is unfolding before them on the field of play. I learned early on that the most important moment in a football game was often unnoticed by the fans observing the game from the bleachers. One down, Jared. Sometimes it was the first quarter of the game. Often it was after halftime. Sometimes it came down to the final play of the game. But whenever it occurred, most coaches had the feeling in their gut that, okay, man, this is it. The entire outcome of the game, right here, baby, right here. This will be a momentum swing. If we stop them here, it's a momentum swing. The entire outcome was resting. The momentum was about to shift. The worm was about to turn. The entire game was hinging on what was about to happen on that particular moment in time. I remember hundreds of those moments during my career. In fact, I can still replay some of those make or break plays during my career when you could point to a specific moment and say, the whole game changed. Right there. Well, my gut tells me this is it. In 1984, as the head girls basketball coach at Heath High School in Ohio, our undefeated team was boarding the bus to play our arch rivals for the league championship showdown. Once the girls were seated on the and before the wheels on the bus began to go round and round, I stood in front of the bus and I played Kenny Loggins' song, "This Is It." Are you going to wait for a sign, a miracle? Stand up and fight. This is it. Make no mistake where you are. You're going no further till it's over and done. One way or another. Over and done. One way or another. That's where we are. This is it. Stand up and fight. There's nothing that's brought as much calamity upon the American people as the scourge of abortion. For 46 years, the American church sat passively on the sidelines while little humans created in the image of God have been ripped from the wombs of their mommies. Nothing in all of history compares to a supposed civilized society sacrificing their children on the altar of selfishness. Well, that's a line. I'm sorry, man. I feel this. Scroll down, Jared. The entire abortion debate's been built on a foundation of lies that can no longer withstand the light of truth. Everything that keeps abortion available is a lie. Everything. Norman McCorvey never had an abortion. Jane Roe. She was never raped. The baby is not part of a woman's body. Killing a baby is not health care. Abortion is murder. It can never be legal. The child's not just a blob of tissue. No one has a right to take another person's life. Children conceived in rape are no less human than those who are not. Wanted babies are no less worthy of life than wanted babies. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. All reasons to abort are lies. Filthy, stinking lies. None of the excuses hold up under any logical or moral scrutiny. Even the name of the procedure, choice, is a lie. No one has a right to choose death for another. Just this month, the abortion ghouls have come out of the closet. The bloodthirsty demons have taken off their masks. And as if we didn't know, we now know that abortion is not about women's health care, but about the avoidance of consequences. No abortion is ever necessary. For over 46 years, we have let them get away with lies. Even the 1973 science they used was a stinking lie. Courts don't make laws. A Supreme Court decision does not automatically become the law of the land. They just tell it is the law. Abortion has never been under the purview of the federal courts. Healthcare is regulated by the states, not the feds. The truth is finally starting to come out. Boys, this is it. The godless left has used the courts, SCOTUS especially, to cram their godless agenda down the throats of the undereducated American people. They now suddenly realize that they have lost control of SCOTUS as their legal battering ram, and so that they are now scurrying to codify abortion into state law. Wake up, dudes! The legal fiction that SCOTUS has the final say is finally being exposed. This is it, folks. Now's the time to go on the offense. God has given the American church a short window of time to rise up and put an end to baby murder. President Trump has proven himself to be the most vocal pro-life president in American history, ripping babies out of the womb, he said. It's not okay with him. He stands exposed for the entire world to see, waiting for an amen in the American Christian church.
Amen.
Ending abortion
amen,
is not
Coach.
President. It is time we stopped waiting on him to do what Jesus mandated his church to do. Abortion will end when Christians say it will end. So it's time for us to step up to the plate. We get a short window of opportunity to be obedient to the Lord's mandate. The American church is being weighed in a balance. Will we answer the call? Will we move into the gap? Will we walk through the breach that the enemy has exposed? The Supreme Court cannot make law. That pretended legislation is being exposed. The abortion battle is moving to the states. Let's not miss this moment. This is it. It's time to end abortion. We can do it one state at a time. This is it, man.
Amen, Coach. That's perfect, man.
Amen. Because why? It's the ultimate we the people. Not them the judges. We the people. We're not a government. We're not a kritocracy. Jared, look that one up if you can.
Amen.
K-R-Y-T-O-C-Y. Kritocracy, which is what, Jared? Trying to find the definition of it. A government by judges. The government rule of judges in which they reach desirable results. We're a kritocracy. Government by judges, not government of we the people. No, no. Hey, I'm tired of it. I don't know about you. I am sick and tired of it.
Hey, Coach.
No or never. Yeah, Larry.
You know, you said earlier about it, if the church just do what it's supposed to do, it would be over quickly. And it doesn't even take all that false church out there that thinks it's a church. If the true church, those few who really understand and know where they stand in Jesus Christ, if they would unite, we would have enough to get it done. But we sit around pointing fingers at each other, even in the true church. It is sickening.
Yep, not doing it the right way. We can't do heartbeat bells. We can't do this. Can't do that. No, we can't do that. Oh, come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. Somebody else, come on in here.
Coach.
I'm hot today, Vic. Go ahead.
You said it yesterday when you said that the abolitionists and the abortionists can't even agree to go ahead and take on that heartbeat bill and consolidate.
They can't even agree to save half the babies.
That's a crying shame right there. That's where we got to set our pride down. And we have to become selfless and do it for life. Do it for God.
I understand abolition. I understand laws legalizing the murder of any children is wrong. I get it. I get it. But we can't even get a church or a legislator to protect babies with a heartbeat. If we can't get them to do that, how are we going to get them to abolish all of it? Boys, it's one step at a time. States rise up, make laws that say no killing babies after there's a heartbeat. It goes to the court, and the court says, that's right, they can do that. And the states wake up and say, what? What? We can protect babies here in our state? And all of a sudden, the lie of judicial supremacy dies right in front of us. And then they move in and say, okay. Not only are we going to protect the ones with heartbeats, we're protecting them all at the state level, which is where it should be. Why is this so hard to understand?
James 4.
Hang on, Roger. Go ahead, Roger.
James 4:4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God.
Wow.
Amen.
We want to be friends with the world, and the Bible clearly tells us what that means.
The Bible tells us to overcome the world.
Amen.
Huh? And how do you do that? Even our faith. That's how you overcome it. Come on,
Jesus said, upon this rock, Caesarea Philippi, Ben Hinnom, the very gates of hell. Upon this rock is where I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail.
Boys, this is it. Hey, Jared, go to that article and pull up Kenny Loggins. I want to play that song again. We did that a couple weeks ago. Yeah, YouTube will ban it. Yeah, they'll pull it down. Screw them! Screw them all!
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
The thing is that we have small wins. The governor from Mississippi, he's already acknowledged that he's going to sign the heartbeat bill.
There you go, Vic. Hey, Victor. Victor, that ain't a small win. That ain't a small win. That's a big win. You mean we got some guy to stand up with some stones? That's a big win. That ain't a small one.
But it goes. They're not only going to do it for 12 months. I mean, for 12 weeks, it's being reduced to 6 weeks. But then on the other hand, our neighbor here to our west, Governor Grisham, she's going to go ahead and try and emulate New York. So then I called the governor yesterday, and I tell him, Governor, you need to grow a spine. You promised Jeremiah Thomas on his deathbed that you were going to go ahead and defund Planned Parenthood and start getting rid of it here, and we don't see it in the legislature.
Vic, I got to move on. Arizona just said no. Arizona just said no to killing babies. No, Arizona said no.
Amen, brother. No.
Yes. This is it, baby. This is it. Go ahead and play that, Jared. This is it. Amen. Right here, right now. Warm turning right now. No. This is a love song. It ain't about love. It's about abortion.
There have been times in my life I've been wondering why. Still somehow I believe we'd always survive.
Now I'm not so sure.
Now I'm not so sure. You're waiting to hear one good reason to try.
One good reason to try. One good reason.
What more can I say? What's left to provide? You think that maybe it's over?
Think spiritually.
Leave him behind, keep me near in your heart. No, whatever you do, I'm here.
That's
by your side.
To you. He's there by your side. Man, this is it. This is it. This is it. I believe it, man. I believe it. This is it.
I believe it too, brother. This is our time.
It's our time.
Hey, Coach. I'm not half the coach you are. I coached soccer for a few years, and I was the assistant most of the time those years. But every game when the head coach would leave, I would take the players and I would shuffle them around in their positions, and we would win, Coach. And I'll tell you why, because they were team players. They knew how to play together, and what you're bringing is that same thing, Coach. We have so many agendas out there. Everybody wants to be the star, and nobody wants to play their position and do what's right, be responsible. And whenever you get a group of people that will play their position and they don't care about agenda and about their self, they're playing for the team, they're playing to win the game, you will win. That's what's coming, Coach. God is putting a team together. You're assembling a team, Coach, that can win. That's what's going on right now.
Amen, brother. That's what we're trying to do. And I'm telling you,
amen, Randy.
The worm is turning, man. There's a slow wake up coming. And listen, here's the point that I'm trying to make. As I listen to that song, we're going no further, fellas. I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking the future of America. We're going no further. It's now. It's put up or shut up. Right now, the Lord has laid this right in our lap in front of us. Will you end baby murder or will you not? This is it. Our back's to the corner.
What Amen, are we gonna Coach.
Do? And what will we do?
Well, Coach, the battle's becoming local. It's not even state. It's becoming local.
Local.
Because that's where government begins anyway. That's where it's going back to. And that is one of the things that they're using in New York, talking with John Speed up there, is that they're going to use the governor signed an executive order in the state of New York to resist the federal government. They said, great, we're going to resist abortion. We're going to resist homosexual marriages.
Starting in some counties,
and that's exactly
Listen to this. Are you ready? Here it is. Here's your mic drop of the day. This happened to me about 15 years ago. When I was going through, it's longer than that. When I was going through my battle with the ACLU, Holy Spirit directed me. When David slew Goliath, he cut off his head. David cut off Goliath's head. Listen, with Goliath's own sword. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me that the sword Goliath has been using in America is the legal system.
Amen.
And the way that we will take back America is, Dale, with Goliath's own sword.
That's good, Coach. And you know what is very unique about that? Elizabeth said, he goes, if you prune a tree, that branch grows back. Yeah. When you read the account of David, it wasn't the stone that killed Goliath. It was then David killed Goliath. He chopped his head off with his own sword.
The stone knocked him down. See, the stone knocked him down. And then David went up. See, the pro infanticide movement. It's not abortion. It's infanticide. Thank you, Chad. The pro-infanticide movement, they've been knocked down, boys. I'm telling you, we don't recognize it. They are scrambling. They're scrambling all of a sudden to the states because they know this battle is going to the states, or, as Dale said, locally. This is where this battle's heading, and they know it. And where are they running to? They're running to the states. Isn't that something? Now, when are we going to wake up, look at the enemy, see the weapon, not be ignorant of his devices, and cut him off at the pass and beat him there?
With his own weapon.
Hey, Coach, yep.
The ending of that story with David and Goliath, it wasn't with David. It said, then the Israelites routed the Philistines. Brother, one fall of a giant caused all of Israel to rise up and charge at the Philistines, brother. That's what's about to happen. The army of God is about to charge.
The army of God is, yes, sir. And I'm telling you, the guys in this queue, I don't know if you know it or not, you're going to be the ones going to be leading it. You're going to be, hey, Jared, go to that. Go to where it says judges. I'll pull that up. I want to show you guys something. Reuben Israel, I don't know if you guys know Reuben Israel or not, but he posted on Facebook, and I copied it. I wanted to use it this morning. And I hear, listen, oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. I feel it, man. Hey, I don't care how many of you think I'm nuts. I'm feeling something, man. Yeah, pull that up there for me, Joe. Maybe you have. I'm on the wrong page. I'm sorry, but Jared, go down to a paragraph that says, as of February 6th. As of February 6th. As of February 6th, 2019, the United States Senate has confirmed 85 Article II judges nominated by President Trump. Hey, remember, what's the sword? Including two associate judges of the Supreme Court, 30 judges of the United States Court of Appeals, 53 judges for the United States District Courts, 0 judges for the United States International Trade. There are currently 61 nominations of Trump's judges awaiting Senate action, including 12 for the Courts of Appeals, 47 for the District Courts, 2 for the Court of International Trade. There are currently 12 vacancies on U.S. Courts of Appeal, 125 vacancies on U.S. District Courts, 2 vacancies on the U.S. Court of International Trade, and 20 announced federal judge vacancies that will occur before the end of Trump's first term. 4 for the Courts of Appeal and 16 for District Trump Courts. Trump has not made any recess appointments to the federal courts. All right. Listen, it's a sword. We're pulling out Goliath's sword. In terms of Article 1, courts as of February 26, 2019, since confirmed 7 judges nominated by Trump, including 2 for the Texas court, 4 for the United States Court of Appeals, 1 for the United States Court of Appeals. There are currently 7 nominations to Article 1 courts. Yada, 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 yada. The sword of the legal system is being pulled out to be turned on the enemy. I'm telling you, this is it. Okay.
Hey, Coach.
Now, yes.
This is Mike Keith.
Hey, Mike.
Just quickly, a true story from Maine. We had ground troops that ended up putting the gay issue in front of all the people of Maine in the form of a public vote. And we were, we had no money. We were what you'd expect, right? And I was in a meeting with Dr. Dobson and a bunch of my colleagues. And Dr. Dobson said, what can we do to help in Maine? And I said, well, Dr. Dobson, we have an army, but we don't have an Air Force. And at that time, there was no internet. And so what I was saying to him is we have only 2 media markets in Maine, and we need enough money to run advertising. We need an Air Force, because the ground troops have put the issue on the ballot, but we're probably not going to be able to win it without an Air Force, without an air campaign. And Dr. Dobson kind of blew me off. He sort of misinterpreted me. But anyway, we ended up not getting any money, but we still ended up winning twice on the ballot because of the Holy Spirit. Not because the church did the right thing. Not because the pro-family movement developed an Air Force and helped the ground army, which was mostly small Baptist and Pentecostal churches that worked hard, made great sacrifices, took a lot of hits from their neighbors and from their family and from their friends, and ended up moving the ball down the field. But there was no Air Force. Now, here's the point I want to make to the people who are listening to this show. There is an Air Force here, and you are a big part of it. It's called the alternative media. It's new. It wasn't there at that time. It's here now. You've created a show over the last 3 years that, okay, maybe millions or maybe even tens of thousands aren't listening to it, but thousands are, and it is being spread. And it is making a difference. And here's the bottom line in my view. This show will make the difference because it is media. It's the Air Force. I agree with you about Goliath's sword and the legal system. But without an Air Force and an army,
amen.
You know, it ain't going to happen. So here's what's got to happen. We got to share the show. We got to share the show on Facebook. Okay, so your son unfriends you or your grandson or whatever, who cares? That's what we got to do. We got to share the show. We got to push. We got to push the show out there to everybody.
Amen. Amen. Wake them up. Thank you, Mike. Bless you, man. Bless you. Listen, I'm about out of time. You got to see the Dale Socia video. I'll go to my Facebook page, Jared. It's on my Facebook page. So I'm thinking only Dale Socia would do this, right? He's on a cruise ship, got all these lost drunks sitting around, karaoke, everybody's singing vile stuff. And I just imagine what it was. I just imagine. And so what happens? Dale Socia says, hey, I think I'm going to get my daughter and we're going to get up there. lady in the front row gets up and walks out. Go ahead and play that, Jared. Yeah, they love that one.
Is an awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wings. Somehow in love, our God is an awesome God. When the stars were starless in the void of the night,
our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and he created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
And judgment and wrath he poured out in Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that you have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Come on! Our God is an awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wings. Somehow in love, our God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wings. Somehow in love, our God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wings. Somehow in love, awesome God, our God is an awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with me. Somehow in love, our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power and strength of the power of resurrection to those who believe. Amen.
Amen.
So Dale walked in there and passed holy spiritual gas all over that place. That took some courage, baby. That took
Amen.
Some courage. Amen.
Oh. Amen. Amen. Amen, Dale. Amen. That was anointed, hey, brother.
Hey, Coach, captive audience, what are they going to do, jump ship?
I don't care, man. I bet they were looking daggers at you, weren't they, Dale? And sweet little Abigail up there, never batting an eye. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Brothers.
We were waiting. We were waiting for the plank.
Hey, let's do it anyway. That one lady got up and walked right out right at the beginning. She didn't want to hear any of that, probably. Didn't want to hear any of that.
No, brother, look, man. You could hear a cricket in that place afterwards. They all just sat there guilty in their sin, brother, because the Spirit of God was slain through that place with the sword. The only people who were cheering was my sister Annette and my wife. That was and my kids. That was it, brother. The Spirit of the Lord was slain people because some of these were those wishy-washy Christians drinking their little drinks, brother. And when that, they don't know what song you're picking. They just got to play it. And so I think they'll probably go and pull that song out of there. They won't let that happen again.
They won't let that happen again. Hey, listen, I just noticed over here in the chat, Sarge makes a good point. He said we need a set of talking points that people can present at state legislatures. But what people don't know, we have to get somebody can sit down in front on a phone call and make the correct points. I'll get on top of that, Sarge. That's a great point because we the people, man, this is it. Our backs to the corner. This is it. If boys and girls, if we do not end abortion now, I'm telling you, God is patient and merciful. But even he at some point is going to say, sorry, man. That's it. That's it. We may have already reached that point, right? We may already be there. But as long as there's breath in our lungs, we have a chance to make a difference. God bless all of you, man. Thanks for tuning in. And something's happening all across America. God bless Elizabeth Johnson, the fight she's fighting. Let's fight to win. God bless you. See you tomorrow.